Welcome to Disinformation Wars, a project of the American Foreign Policy Council. I'm AFPC Senior Vice President Ilan Berman. Disinformation Wars is a series of conversations with officials, experts, and practitioners designed to take you behind the scenes of the struggle for hearts and minds of global publics that's now taking place around the world. It's a contest being waged by Russia, China, Iran, and other actors, and the stakes could not be any higher.
It's a refrain that you hear all too often when it comes to Israeli policy, that the Jewish state is bad at hasbara, at explaining and contextualizing its policies to global audiences. The complaint highlights a persistent problem. More than any other country, Israel tends to face intense and consistently negative international attention for practically every aspect of its domestic and foreign policy. That coverage tends to accentuate the negatives and ignore the positives. Yet today, there are many more good news stories involving Israel than there were just a few years ago. All too often, however, stories about things like Israeli tech innovation, the country's economic dynamism, or its foreign policy breakthroughs in the region are drowned out by consistently negative coverage in the international media. Cutting through this noise and reshaping its global image has become one of the most urgent tasks for the Israeli government. And the man leading this charge is David Seranga. David is the head of digital diplomacy at Israel's Ministry of Foreign Affairs, a position he assumed in August of 2022. A career diplomat, he previously served as Israel's ambassador to Romania, and before that, as head of the European Parliament Liaison Department at Israel's mission to the EU in Brussels. In his current post, David serves as Israel's chief digital diplomat and is one of the country's key strategists for crafting how this government can best explain its policies in a crowded and hostile media field. So I wanted to chat with him about how he sees his role, the media challenge facing Israel more broadly, and the biggest challenges and opportunities now facing the country in the media domain. David, thanks so much for taking the time to chat.
Thank you, Ilan. It's a pleasure.
Let's start with your job as the head of the Israeli MFA's Digital Bureau. Can you explain to the listeners the functions and scope of the Bureau itself and how you personally view your portfolio? What's the advocacy mission here as you see it?
When we speak about diplomacy, there are two main pillars, traditional diplomacy and public diplomacy. And digital diplomacy is part of this pillar dealing with public diplomacy. In other words, through digital platforms, we can communicate with different audiences. We can leverage and echo our message. And of course, we can communicate Israel's government message.
Obviously, there's no shortage of challenges here. So I want to spend a few minutes on these because I think it's enormously important to contextualize in terms of how Israel relates to the region and how Israel relates to foreign policy more broadly. So answer this. As far as you're concerned, what are the biggest challenges facing Israel in terms of messaging? Where does the most work need to be done, as far as you're concerned, in terms of spreading Israel's perspective?
I think there are some challenges. The first one is misconceptions. There are a lot of misconceptions when we speak about Israel. And this is one of the things we are trying to address. Another is lack of knowledge. You know, when you are active on social media, especially on Twitter, you have sometimes to bring the message in 280 characters, something which is very difficult. You know, I remember when I just started with the first public diplomacy activity on Twitter, the first public diplomacy activity ever, which was done on Twitter, it was in December 2008. I was at the Israeli consulate in New York, and it was during the war in Gaza, during one of the rounds of violence in Gaza. And we decided to have a press conference on Twitter. And I remember the day of the so-called press conference, Rachel Maddow on MSNBC mocked our activity. She said, how the Israeli consulate want to address the Israeli-Palestinian conflict with 140 characters. Back then, Twitter was only with 140 characters, when journalists and writers are trying to explain this conflict in hundreds or thousands of words. But the world has changed. And since the world has changed, we have to change also our method. So lack of knowledge is one of the challenges. And one of our challenges is how to communicate the Israeli story. Because the international media is mainly focused on the conflict or conflict-related issues. And we want to add more dimensions. We want to add more layers to the way Israel is perceived by the public opinion. And this is a big challenge. How you bring this story, how you bring the Israeli story to the public, to different people in different places, in different languages, in different cultures, and so on and so forth. And the last challenge is fake news. You know, we as a government, before we put something out, we double check it or we triple check it. And if we are not 100% sure, we don't communicate the message. When you're talking about the people who are active on social media, and here, and I'm not speaking about governments specifically, I'm talking about even private people, the message they put out there, in many cases, it's either fake news or it has nothing to do with reality. So how do you contradict this message? What do you do as a government? Or maybe not the government has to act in this case, and maybe we have to appeal to a third party. Big questions.
I think you make an important point about context here, because a lot of what we're seeing on social media, even if it's not intentionally fake news, it's disinformation or misinformation because it lacks context. And I'm interested, and I think the listeners would be as well, if you could drill down a little bit and explain how you provide the necessary context to show the Israeli side on issues that are very emotionally polarizing, issues relating to the Palestinians, for example. What's the order of battle as you see it? How do you walk through a very dynamic, very rapidly changing media situation?
You know, we as the Israeli Foreign Ministry, we have to choose our battles. I mean, we can't go over every post and try and put it in context or try to show what is the reality and so on and so forth. So therefore, our activity is divided, roughly speaking, between times of emergency, when there is a conflict, when there is a war in our area, and in times of normality. In times of normality, we mainly focused on the Israeli story, because we want people to know better what Israel is all about. We want people to know better the Israeli society, and so on and so forth. In times of conflict, then it's crucial. Then it's crucial to put things in context. And in the last round of violence in August, we saw that only by coordinating between the different ministries and bodies who are dealing with public diplomacy, whether it's the IDF spokesperson bureau, either it's the prime minister's office, the foreign ministry, of course, the Israeli police, home front command, and so on and so forth, only by coordinating the message on the one hand. But on the other hand, every time we saw that there are rumors or there are fake news that we have to confront, we were very coordinated. And I think it helped us a lot in contradicting fake news.
And I think that segues very nicely into my next question, because you talked a lot about the challenges facing Israel in the digital diplomacy space. But what about the successes? There's a lot of good news here that needs to be spread far and wide. News ranging from Israel's economic strength to its role as what's come to be known as a startup nation for tech innovation and entrepreneurship. And of course, in terms of foreign policy, the past couple of years have seen a real sea change in the region because of Israel's normalization of relations with the UAE and with Bahrain and Morocco. So how are you promoting all of these accomplishments? And what are the themes and topics that you're emphasizing?
I will divide it into two. First, you remember I mentioned several times the term the Israeli story, because the Israeli story is combined from all these positive stories you mentioned. Either it's our economic success, either it's Israel being the startup nation, either is the multicultural society of Israel, either is the way we are combating environment changes, and so on and so forth. And this is what we do on a regular basis. On the other hand, we have a lot of success, and especially our digital platforms, we have a lot of success in two main categories, which I don't think that people realize. First, in Persian, for example, in Iran, our platforms in Farsi are very popular in Iran itself. And these platforms are there for the last 10 years. It's not that we created them only 2 or 3 years ago. No, for the last 10 years, we have been active on social media in Farsi, in messages to the Iranian people. Because when it comes to Iran, we differentiate between the Iranian regime and the Iranian people. And if you go on our Twitter page or Instagram page in Farsi, you will see messages on the one hand telling the Iranian people about Israel, telling the Israeli story. And at the other hand, we are serving as a voice to the people of Iran in these hard moments. And just to give you, if I speak about figures, for example, last year in 2022, we had more than 450 million impressions in our platforms in Farsi. So this is one example. The other example is all our activity in Arabic. And here I will connect to what you said about the Abraham Accords and so on and so forth. We have been active on our platforms in Arabic for more than a decade. And the fact that people in the Gulf, people in Arab countries, in Saudi Arabia, and so on and so forth, people could communicate with us first, and second, people could see, read, watch about the Israeli story. So when the Abraham Accords arrived, when we succeeded to sign the peace accords with the United Arab Emirates, with Bahrain, with Morocco, the public opinion, or part of the public opinion, was already prepared. They knew what Israel is all about. So it was also easier for the governments in these countries to go ahead and to have this normalization with Israel.
And of course, social media is central to all this. And you mentioned before, you mentioned the centrality of Twitter. I'd also point out TikTok is looming very large these days in a different context in the United States, for example, than it is in Israel. However, obviously very important. And so let me ask you a question about these, because these platforms have enormous reach and they're driving the global conversation in very real ways. And this is true not only in terms of breaking news, but also in terms of shaping narratives or meta-narratives on issues that matter a great deal to Israel, in terms of its global presence, in terms of its foreign policy and other things. How are you and your team approaching engagement specifically on those platforms? How are you using most effectively the modalities of Twitter and TikTok and Facebook and Telegram and other things?
We are all over. All these platforms you mentioned. We, as the foreign ministry, part of our diplomats are also on TikTok. Our missions abroad, part of them are on TikTok, because we understood that TikTok, which is the third largest platform right now, is very important in order to shape the narrative among the young generation. And when you talk about the young generation, when they get the knowledge from TikTok, we have to be there. I can't tell you that we are active on TikTok the same way we are active on Twitter or Facebook, but we are aware of the importance of the platform. Just to give you an example, knowing how important the platform is, the Israeli Foreign Ministry, together with TikTok Israel and TikTok Europe, we are bringing to Israel a group of 15 influencers from Europe in TikTok in order to create together with them, or in order for them to create together with Israeli influencers content for TikTok. So we understand the importance of the platform. But, you know, there is another important component that we have to refer to it. It's the artificial intelligence. When you speak today, in these days, we are launching our AI diplomacy activity. And I think that we are the first Ministry of Foreign Affairs in the world who is using AI diplomacy. It's an Israeli technology done by a company which is called DID, in which one can create videos in different languages only via text. And we are also active there. We understand the importance of ChatGPT. And we understand that the technology will lead the way also when it comes to public diplomacy.
That's fascinating. And as you point out, it's about a lot more than debunking and trolling. It's not, I mean, there's a role for that, of course, but it's about shaping narratives. And what you said about TikTok in particular, I find fascinating because since it's a visual platform, it's a different type of storytelling. It almost lends itself better to telling Israel's story when you have influencers who travel to places in Israel, who show the reality. It's much more compelling than a line of text on the screen.
And also depends on the audience. When we communicate with someone on Twitter, we know that we communicate either with journalists or with ministers or with members of parliament or with influencers who are interested in political content. When we communicate via TikTok, we know that we communicate to a different segment of society.
So I want to circle back to something that you mentioned at the start of our conversation with regard to fake news, with regard to disinformation, because that's obviously a topic that looms very large here in the United States, in the context of Russia, to a lesser degree in the context of China. And the US is now struggling, particularly against the backdrop of the Ukraine war, is struggling to get smart on disinformation and how it's spread and what the vectors are. And I wonder, in your experience from the Israeli perspective, what's your view on this? How mature is the Israeli government in understanding disinformation and counteracting disinformation?
I'll be very sincere. I don't think there is a formula right now to tackle this problem. And every case should be evaluated by itself. One of the things that we do is we do a lot of dialogues with other ministries of foreign affairs and other foreign entities. We did it also with the State Department and so on and so forth. And sometimes we see that if you want to contradict a fake news as a government, it is perceived as propaganda. Sometimes people will ask, just a second, why the Israeli government, I'm bringing an example, why the Israeli government is trying to fight this message? Maybe it's true, maybe they have something to hide. So there are different ways to do it, either via civil society, either via other ways. So it's much more complicated for governments, especially in democracies, to confront these challenges.
As we wrap up the conversation, I want to talk about politics, domestic politics, because I'm aware of this old phrase that at the end of the day, all politics are local. And I'm sure the listeners know a new government has just taken over in Jerusalem, and it's very different in terms of both its composition and its policy priorities from the last one. How are these things likely to impact your work specifically, especially in light of the global media focus on some of the new government's controversial personalities and controversial policies? How are you navigating this?
First, you know, this is democracy. You can't be in favor of democracy when the results are X, and you can't be against democracy when the results are Y. So this is democracy. And I'm happy that the Israeli society is a striving democracy, first. Second, I think that the current government, like any other government, Israeli government, will be judged by its deeds and not by the declarations or the articles which the international media is writing about the government. So let's wait and see the deeds of the Israeli government.
David, thanks so much. This has been a terrific conversation.
Thank you, Ilan. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for tuning in to Disinformation Wars. To learn more about the American Foreign Policy Council and our work on public diplomacy, visit us online at www.afpc.org. And as always, we hope you'll join us again next time.